all of you, you were asking questions. So that's why I'm saying, leave this thing. All of us must manage time. I'll see how do we manage time. Are the candidates already here, Marof?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We must just be
strict. Yeah. Thank you for the Yeah, just it's just strict, ne? Yeah, to some civil is so surprising. This is Miss Nomsi Sibatane. Miss Bata is our candidate number 72. You're welcome, madam, and good evening.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair. Yes, you've got only 5 minutes, 45 minutes with us. 3 minutes is for you to answer questions from members, and 2 minutes is for members to ask you questions. Fortunately, you are a current serving commissioner. Ne, am I right?
My contract.
Oh, it expired. Okay. But it just expired yesterday. Yeah, December or January, is just yesterday. Yeah, thank you very much for coming. I'll go straight to our business. My name is Nhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of this ad hoc committee. Honorable members will introduce themselves as and when they ask you questions. And we have extra 2 minutes for one of our honorable member who has an interpreter. So when she has raised issues with isiZulu, can you hear Zulu? Ne?
Yes.
So there's no need for the interpreter to interpret for I don't know for us or for who, but when you will respond in English so that you can manage time, ne? Yeah, just feel free and relax, ne?
Thank you.
Yeah. The first question is about tell us about yourself. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Why do you think we must reappoint you in this position as a commissioner? And why do you think you are a suitable candidate to be reappointed as the commissioner in CGE? Yeah, you can start. Thabile Mapali.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of this August National Assembly. As to why I think I can be the candidate.
Start by introducing yourself.
Oh, okay. I was worried about time, sorry, Honorable. Nomsi Sibata is the name I'm commonly called, Linda Roy Sonia. I'm from the Eastern Cape province. I was in the Gender Commission from 2014 until 2018. Previously, I've been in the Office of the Premier as the Director of Special Programs, established the Office on the Status of Women, Status of Disabled Persons, Status of Older Persons, and also the Rights of the Child. And thereafter, I moved back to the legislature because I left the legislature to go and establish those programs in the Office of the Premier. And going back to the legislature, I ensured that the Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature becomes the best practice women's caucus. I moved mountains because I had the advantage of, you know, having the budget for the portfolio committees with me, and I was monitoring the budget to see which committees are spending money, which committees are not spending money. The Women's Caucus didn't have a budget, but I juggled around to ensure that the Women's Caucus, with my honorable members, is mainstreamed to be a fully fledged standing committee of the provincial legislature like SCOPA. And thereafter, I ensured that my honorable members established the Commonwealth Women's Parliamentary Association as the first sub-branch in South Africa. We hosted the regional conference. It was difficult pulling through resources to make sure that we accommodate that vast conference, which was a success in East London ICC. I came to the commission and I can count myself, I've got a 5-year report, Honorable Chair, that I can share with the committee, but I didn't want to just bring the report without asking permission. If the chair allows it, I can. It's in my disk, my memory stick. I just got one copy. I have made the CGE in the province so mainstream. The partnerships that I have managed to establish with a myriad of stakeholders. Thank you.
Next, Honorable Van der Merwe, Honorable Velma Kaula Mastori, Tanda, and Seke. Oh, my fellow, your hand is up, and my fellow is the last.
Yeah, Chairperson, I actually want to... Hello, how are you? I'm Liesl Van der Merwe. I actually want to go back to where you ended off. I think it's important for us if we are to reappoint commissioners to the commission to assess the performance of commissioners. So I wanted you to just give us, you spoke about the impact you made in your province of the Eastern Cape, so maybe if you can just highlight some of the projects and successes, well, basically your legacy and your footprint that you left. Maybe if you can just give a few examples of those successes. And I also want to ask you, what have you experienced or what can you tell us about what you have identified as some of the challenges that the Commission for Gender Equality is experiencing? And how have you sought to address some of those challenges in the time that you've served as a commissioner?
Thank you very much. I was still getting there, but I think time was against me. What I did was to ensure, firstly, that we rally around all Chapter 9 institutions and Chapter 10. We have a very vibrant forum there where we meet. We have a shared depository where when we receive a complaint as the CGE, that complaint is shared with Human Rights Commission, with Public Protector and others, for them to find a niche of where complaint must be dealt with. I have managed with my colleagues to ensure that in the Eastern Cape we are mainstreamed, in the sense that we have a partnership, very strong partnership we established with the Eastern Cape Legislature. Through the Speaker's office, we sit with the Speaker as those Chapter 9 institutions and 10, and we share our work with them, our programs, and also we get feedback from the legislature. We also give them our reports that we have tabled in Parliament. We have established a strong relationship with traditional leaders. The sectors across the spectrum, your disability sector, your business, your education sector, all sectors, we have really worked with them. And the NGOs. The NGOs can't do anything without us. We're always working with them. And they have exposed us to a lot of target publics. And working with the province has made us reach out, because we don't have a budget, to in many respects, to many target publics that we would not have envisaged to reach out to. We have established a strong partnership with SALGA. You can ask SALGA about CGE. We're on the verge of signing a memorandum of understanding with SALGA. We lobbied other institutions to sign that, to enter into a memorandum of understanding. The same we were going to sign a memorandum of understanding with the Eastern Cape Legislature as those institutions. We have a memorandum of understanding with the House of Traditional Leaders, because we said traditional harmful practices can never be eradicated unless we work hand in glove with traditional leaders. We have managed to address kingdoms when they have this outreach program. The government take us with them to a commemorative day. Thank you very much.
Honorable Velma.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. Welcome to the interview. I am Wilma Newhood-Drufin. I use sign language, and voicing for me is my sign language interpreter, Delphine. And thank you for your introduction. My topic or my focus is vulnerable groups, and I see you said you worked in the Premier's office in relation with disabled children or the disability sector. And so far we have seen, we have good policies, we have good legislation, however we've seen an increase in violence towards the vulnerable groups, for example, children with disabilities, adults with disabilities, people with albinism, and the LGBTQI+ community as well. So we've seen a lot of violence, killings of those vulnerable groups, and it's an increase. If you were to continue on as a commissioner on the CGE, what could be done to decrease this escalation, especially this escalation in violence against the vulnerable groups? How can we bring it down? What can we do to bring it down? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. The sketch that is confronting people with disabilities in South Africa is big. If I can zoom in into the programs within the province, every department almost there has got a program and a budget dedicated to people with disabilities. In 2016, the new policy, the framework that has been established by our excellency the president, which is improving on the 1997-98 policy of the former president at that time, it stipulates clearly that disability has moved from a health issue and a welfare issue into a developmental issue. Hence they said, the disability sector said, nothing about us without us. The programs, there's a myriad of them. Transport has programs, economic development has programs, DTI has programs partnering with the province on issues of people with disabilities. Coming to the question of the murders, I have been very instrumental as a commissioner and as an individual in fighting that sketch in terms of people with albinism, people with disabilities, and also the schools where special schools. We have intervened in those special schools where the children with disabilities are catered for. And we have seen how bad things have been. We have dedicated the Human Rights Month to them, bringing also the Human Rights Commission and other structures. What would we do to change the situation? I think we need to strengthen legislation. We need an amendment of legislation, Honorable Members. The amendment of legislation, you can't have a person who is known that he killed a person. He was seen. They witnessed the murder. And that person gets to court and treated with kid gloves and is asked, do you want a legal person to help you? Do you want bail? And now it waters down the, you know, it adds more pain to the people. They say, Commissioner, why are these people treating the perpetrators like this? You can't have an elderly woman in Mutanduli being killed, brutally murdered, with 6 grandchildren, and that person has asked the question, do you need a bed? There must be no bed. That's what the people are saying on the ground. They must not get bed. And if they are sentenced, they must not have the option of parole, because they come back and be repeat offenders. What I saw in Canada, I was just in Canada recently.
Your time is up.
Oh, sorry. Can you tell us the difference between gender equality, gender equity, gender mainstreaming, and women empowerment, and give examples? Thank you, Honorable Member. If you talk gender equality, in a South African perspective, the constitution of this republic came up with a landmark constitution. And that landmark constitution, specifically the Bill of Rights, Section 9, it speaks about equality. That is where we take the cue on equality in South Africa. And every piece of legislation that emanated from there was in support of that Bill of Rights. If you look at the Bill of Rights, there you are, gender equality. Human rights are women's rights. Even the policy that we established, a national gender policy framework, that we were applauded by the United Nations. And they even applauded South Africa for establishing a gender commission. They said, wow, South Africa, well done. Sometimes we are our worst enemies and a worst devil's advocate. We don't look at what are the successes. Maybe because we are confronted with a lot of challenges and we want to eradicate them. Equity is something that is linked also to equality, to say there must be equity. We must have an equitable share in the running of this country. That is what Beijing is dictating to us. That is what CEDAW is dictating to us. That is what the SADC protocol are dictating to us. And then you come to the question of mainstreaming. Mainstreaming can never be done by people who are on the periphery or in the lower echelons of government. It must start with the top people. It starts with the political will that you have done so as honorable members in this August House to establish the mirage of legislation. Now, where does it get stuck? It's us, the implementers. It's us, the functionaries below the echelons that are not doing it for South Africa. Why are we leaving it? We should be giving consequences and get rid of people who are not doing their work, and employ people who are going to do you proud as members, because you are not public functionaries. You are penalized sometimes and criticized for something that you didn't do. You've done your job. Excellent. Because we are showcasing ourselves. I was in Kenya for respectful productive rights, and all those countries, 20 of them, said, you're South Africa, you are the best. People are still penalized for being pregnant and committing abortion. In those countries that have signed and ratified the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, that have signed our optional protocol to that charter, what are we doing? So
thank you, Ms. Bata. Like, I'm going to penalize members who are going to say, we're rushing, we must do justice in our work. Next, Honorable Makaula Maros, Sanda, and Seke, and myself, we are the last.
Ngibonge wesihlalo. Okay, ngiyabonga sihlalo. Nakho mina bengikhala ngakho la. Engikuphatha kahle ke. Noma ungiphatha kambi, ngasho ungiphatha kahle mbe. Kahle kungiphatha kambi. Umhlonishwa lo ngaphambili uthi kade khona lana qinisile ngiyamazi. Lana kuyona lo mnyango wase-GE. Kunalabantu laba okutholi kade behlala emjondolo. Labantu laba behlala nemndeni yabo bezakhele mhlawumbe u-3 room lababa. Laba bantu ngenxa yentuthuko ethize babhidlizelwe lemjondolo masipala ngendlela yokuthi uthi uzokwakha izindlu abathathe bafaka ezindlini ezibizwa ngokuthi olindela. Ngokwazi kwami leza zindlu akuvumelekile uhlale kuzona more than 6 months ngoba leyandlu la i-one room iyashisa ne-toilet esisebenzisa lapha lilodwa ngisho ngeza ndawonye ile nto yenzeka lapha eDurban okubuhlungu masezakhiwa lezi zindlu laba bantu abangeni Steve njengoba ngikhuluma nawe basahlala kulabo lindela ngikhuluma ngobaba nomama ney'ngane ezikhulile abahlala endlini eyodwa engakuthathi obheka. Ngifuna ukwazi-ke wena ngokwakho mhlonishwa wami ukuthi yini ongasinceda ngayo ukuthi laba bantu bakwazi ukuthi bagcine bebhekelelwa ngoba lana sikhuluma ngamalungelo abantu. Le case NCOP ngale khona uChairperson uDlamini uMadlamini senze saya naka masipala yebuka lo ndaba ngizamxoxe bezwangithusa sakhuluma naye lapha thema sikhuluma nabo bakuthembisa even now ngicela ukwazi ukuthi uzokwazi ukuthinta upublic protector ukuthi kulungiswe leya nkinga yalapha eThekwini yabantu abahlala kuyimanje noba linizulu bayanethwa bana 15 years. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Honorable Member. It is said that people can sit in that situation, which is unacceptable. That is why we have sometimes a high prevalence of gender-based violence, because that's not a situation conducive for the basic unit of society, the family. And therefore, I'm not sure if this has culminated as a complaint to the Gender Commission, because we have a complaints manual, we have a turnaround time for complaints within the legal units of the commission, and we could have, I don't know because I'm not deployed in KZN, Honorable Member Wang. I'm deployed in the Eastern Cape. I was helping partly in Mpumalanga and other provinces when there's no commissioner. That issue should be addressed, you know, very urgently with the human settlements. I know human settlements can prioritize. For instance, some mother, elderly person who's almost 90 years, was given a house by the Premier because we parachuted that. That house was given over this weekend by the Honorable Premier and the Mayor. No, in the Eastern Cape. Okay. So I'm saying those issues need to be parachuted, because the human settlement has a way, irrespective of what the budget dictates, you of prioritizing crisis situations that we have managed to get housing for certain people. Also the municipalities sometimes. I think municipalities need to look at that. Because prior, who come award councillor, they are ward councillors. They are councillors. They are CDWs, community development workers. Government has put on the structures. But the structures, sometimes, I'm not being critical, they don't do what they are supposed to do. So that case, I think, should be prioritized. If it comes as a complaint into the commission, and I'm fortunate to go back, I don't expect that I will go back or not go back. It depends on the on the selection. But I will make sure also that I inform who Commissioner Maphazi is there in KZN, that there is this situation. Can you, Commissioner Maphazi, try and... Because some complaints, we get them through the radio when people are speaking, or through the newspaper. We do a lot with the printed electronic media. So we help the people. It can be, they can be assisted, Honourable.
Honourable... Manseke, was it talking? Maroff.
And go see. Honourable Chair, through you, you have the advantage of going back, possibly going back. You are aware of the situation that existed. There has been too little funding. We know that is a problem that can't be solved overnight, but from what you said in your work in the Eastern Cape, I think you have been able to work together in partnerships and to maximize funding by working with other people. Now, conflict was an important problem in the most recent grouping. I'd just like to know if you have got any suggestions about how this sort of conflict could be avoided in the future, because I think it paralyzed, this is, you know, the work of the CGE to a certain extent. And then just, if I could quickly, patriarchy is still a major problem. You spoke about working with the traditional leaders, and yet the Eastern Cape is still the source of so much violence, patriarchy, and so on. Did that partnership work? Thank you.
Member. As for the funding, I think we need to be proactive, because the funding is incumbent upon the TOPS license and everything that goes with it. If the country is in recession, in fact globally, most countries are in recession, then you have to understand and try and be creative and make kind of amends. That is why we decided to organize the Chapter 9 10 institution. That is why we established the partnerships with the honorable members within the legislature, and make sure that every public engagement they have, which is a legislature program, not a political program, or every function, a public function they have, the SALGA with councillors, that's a free ride. People have been rented, they are there, they are brought, they are transported, we can't transport them. So what a pleasure for me to go and speak to them, because you get that mileage that you would never get at the CGE. And we introduce the kind of shared resources approach there. Shared resources in the sense that IEC is busy with electioneering, né? And doing voter education and other things. You piggyback on IEC because they have the funding. And you end up being able to even get another reach out to target public. You have not spent a cent. You have driven maybe for 6 hours to that area. You left at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning. You come back. If Human Rights Commission doesn't have transport, they will piggyback on us. We will do permission that they go with us, or public protector official, so that you maximize your mileage. Lastly, conflict. Yes, there was conflict. Part of it was happening because there were issues that we had identified as commissioners. Those issues, I will mention three of them. I'm not going to be elaborate because Chairperson is going to penalize me this time. we discovered that, Honorable Chair, there was contract management of ours was poor. There was certain elements of contract management that were not going well. We had unauthorized expenditure. I mean, you have to make sure that officials do their work properly. You are the board. You have to say to people when things are not going right, they can't go right. They are not going right. There's got to be consequence management. So this thing about personalities, people not being able to work with one another, it's a human factor. Human beings are... The third one was conflict. Why there was conflict? Contract management, there was also unauthorized expenditure. Yes. Because we had about 600,000 unauthorized expenditure through the IT. And what worried us was the fact that there were repetitive findings. Pointing to the IT, it was not the first finding. Because I scrutinized finances. I was delegated to do the finance chairperson. And I also sit with auditors. So I have absolute advantage over finances. And because I went for the legislature, I went for government, the PFMA is in my mind. I said, Section 38 must be invoked of the PFMA, Public Finance Management Act number 1 of 1999. So those things also, you know, brought a lot of tensions. But they are necessary tensions. But we do hug and kiss thereafter. We're not fighting physically, but we're correcting things. And we can't sit as the board and be complacent when things are not going well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Thunder.
Thank you.
I think I've taken a 1 minute of another member here. I will tell you as and when.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Chair. You're mentioning a lot of things that we have managed to do because of our constitution, our legislation, that South Africa is seen as very progressive. I don't think any one person can take ownership of that. Now, you've been with the CGE for 5 years. If you look back on your 5 years, what is your legacy? What can you say, I was responsible for that? Yes, you had other people that you were working with during that time, but I took ownership for that. I innovated that. This was my baby that I took it from here to there. What is your legacy for the last 5 years, and what is your plan if you are re-elected for the next 5 years?
Honorable Chair. One of those legacies that I can pride myself of, I was everywhere, electronic and print media. Everybody knew me. I would go to Spa or Pick and Pay. Wow, you did well in ENCA. And also nationally, on national broadcast, I was there. I spoke about witchcraft matters. I spoke about Muslim marriages. For the amendments, the landmark decision of the Constitutional Court. I spoke about child marriages, ukutwala, because I was chairing the Traditional Harmful Practices subcommittee for the commission. I was talking about a myriad of things, LGBTIQ. I was here in Syria discussing with presenting to the LGBTIQ plus and others. So I have really put this commission on the map. I have delivered speeches in the legislature when there are, you know, open days and other things. I have delivered speeches in the kingdoms, and I want those things to be followed up where I left in terms of concretizing those memorandum of understanding and making sure that they are functional. They're the one for traditional leaders. Had a little bit of a backlash because when the leadership changes, there was the new house that was elected. And when they try to adjust and get into the office properly, you find that you can't reach them. We've been writing and writing to say, let's meet again. So those things are very important. I have presented in international conferences. I was representing South Africa, sexual reproductive rights. I rocked the boat there. The delegates from Kenya, Cote d'Ivoire, wherever those countries, they can still, I'm sure, remember my face because I represented my country. I write, I love writing. I write a lot of documents. I'm on the newspapers with things that I've written and presented. So I can say I have really put this institution on the map. If I were lucky to be appointed again, I will take that work forward.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Tseke.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good evening, Mr. Chair. You know, Chair, when I was going through the CV and the documents attached, Mrs. Bata was nominated by more than 10 people or institutions. So I was just asking myself for a while, is it because of the work that she's done for the province? Yeah, because a lot of NGOs, legislature, I think they've nominated her, individual schools, individual people. So I was just asking myself, wow, let's hope this is part of your legacy. Yeah, I don't know. It's $1 million question, but the recommendations are here. Mrs. Bata, the CGE, as you have been working there, as a Chapter 9 institution, have made recommendations to many government departments, government entities, and even in private sector. You know, you have been interacting with mining companies and whatsoever, and issued many reports on the performance and the status of gender equality and the challenges faced by women in this country. Some, if not many, institutions thus far have not yet implemented your CGE's recommendations. In your view, what steps should you take to make sure that the recommendations are implemented? Or in brief, are the recommendations of CGE binding?
Thank you, Honorable Members. I feel humbled. Those institutions I've worked with them, they've known me not only in the CGE, I've worked with them way back since 1994. And with the NGOs like Masmanyane, I'm instrumental, I'm even in the management committees of shelters. Because that's where women are, that's where children are. I have to touch. I can't be just a person who's sitting in the office of the CGE waiting for the chairperson to deploy me. I go to the taxi rank. They know me. Those women who are selling fruit and veggies, I listen to them and say, what is happening? Hi, Commissioner, I'm 60 years, but my date was wrong. My date of birth was wrong. And I would advise and I would say, office, deal with this woman. Here is her number. You must check the elders in that village and help her. And you must make sure that she's taken to Home Affairs to be able to get her old age pension. She can't be sitting in the sun here. I have established something like domestic workers with the former MEC for Social Development, Unensi Tswayi. I said in 2017, let us leave other women and gender mainstreaming. How many managers are women? Let us go to the women down there, farm workers and domestic workers. Today, that province has got an association for domestic workers, per district and representatives. And social development goes to the drawing board to go and check them. The other thing, Honorable, that we issued reports, recommendations. That is why we invoke Section 18 of the Commission for Gender Equality Act number 39 of 1996. Section 18 gives us the muscle to subpoena them. It yields fruits because when I read the dispatch, now I showed honorable members who were sitting there in at the airport. I said, honorable members, look, this is where I intervened. And we intervened. There was sexual harassment in the health department. We subpoenaed them. That person has been found guilty. And now, from yesterday, there's a flood of other complaints. You can't have 50,000 employees in the Eastern Cape Health Department, in clinics and hospitals, and you have sex perverts who are preying on women because predominantly they are nurses, women, you know, that nurturing role. So those people in higher positions and positions of authority lose their authority to pry them, you know, sexually. So this thing of recommendation, you know.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bata. Yes, yes, thank you very much. I think that was the last question. Yeah, you were tempting me, you know. When sometimes some of you are responding to questions, you make us be tempted to listen more. The only thing is that time does not allow us. So that's why I stole some of the minutes of the members to give you to respond more. But
are you coming?
Yeah, the next candidate to ask question. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry for that because I used some minutes of other members to give them more time to answer questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Bata. Is there anything that you want to ask, honourable members?
No, who am I to ask members? I just wanted to check if is it acceptable for you for me to share my report. Members can just go through it. I can send it electronically. I've got it on disk. I just brought one copy because I was scared to just bring. I know there's strict rules on tabling in the legislature. You can't just table in the parliament. You can't just table your report without prior arrangement. So I shied away from bringing copies. I wanted to bring binded copies for you. It's got pictures. It's got, you know, evidence of the print and electronic media that I have engaged in, the topics that I've covered. But because I know the protocol of the legislature, I have been a legislature official. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. Hemen, you can advise us on that one. Because you are our legal guru, you are a doctor of law. So, me, yeah. What can you advise? I said to men.
Thanks, Chair. But if it's a report, it's just intended for this ad hoc committee. Maybe if the committee through the chair agrees, but for tabling for the House, it means that report will end to these members, doesn't go to the House, because there it needs, actually it has to be tabled and referred to the ad hoc committee or to the relevant portfolio committee, but it's up to the chair if she agrees to that.
Honorable members, take care, and honourable Standa.
Thank
you. Our candidate wants to share a report.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. I'm sure you are very proud of your work, and I'm sure that we will be very proud of your work too. But in terms of my understanding, every candidate has been given equal opportunity, and every candidate was given an opportunity to make submissions, and those submissions were closed. So, Chairperson, I would say that we cannot as a committee now accept any further submissions from any candidate, but perhaps after this whole thing is completed and what maybe you want to table it to the next committee, to the sixth parliament or whatever. But Madam Chair, I would say that in this case, respectfully, that we will have to decline any submission from any candidate.
Honourable Van der Rolfe and Tege.
Chairperson, respectfully, I've got a slightly different view because she is a former CGE commissioner and we don't often get reports on the works that they have completed, and it's not a formal report that will go the speaker route. So I would see no problem in looking at some of the reports of her work just to be able to, because the thing is the 45 minutes that we've got doesn't do justice to justify or to look into the track record as a previous commissioner. So I'm not sure whether it would actually even harm or progress her chances. So I think for information purposes, it would be good to be able to look through some of the achievements.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I will agree with Honourable Stand to say that the time for submission has passed. And the questionnaire which we have sent to all the candidates was very much elaborative to say you can add whatever information that you feel will assist this committee in making sure that they get more information on it. So, Chair, I'm of the view that we'll use our interaction, the CV, the information that she has submitted, and our interaction today, one-on-one, interviews that we've done today to move forward.
Honourable Temboi.
I just would like to know, whatever we are trying to apply here, is it going to apply to other members? Can we just be fair to all the candidates here? And we don't have to apply the law of specializing and favoritism here. So we don't accept anything outside what we have received so far. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. That means that matter is closed. So thank you very much, Ms. Bata. We wish you good luck. We'll inform you in due course after we're finished with the deliberation of our interviews and so on. And then we wish you good luck. We are invited for supper. And Nelisa will show you where you're going to have supper. Yeah, and your accommodation is taken care of. Thank you very much. The last candidate. Nelisa, where is the last candidate? First.